give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous work that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. He is the Lord our God, his judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, unto Israel and for an everlasting covenant. Saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When they were but a few, men in number, yea, very few, strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not mine anointed. Heavenly Father, we felt you here last night, so powerful and wonderful service. Pray that you'll just come again, dear Lord, and just be with us as we are gathered in your name. Bless our pastor now as he prepares to bring what you put on his heart. Bless the people as they come, dear Lord God. Help me up here as I stand before people to just bring you on the scene. May you bless us all. We just need your help in these last days, in Jesus' name. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. Oh, I heard about his glory, of his precious blood. I read. Yeah. upon the throne. I will worship Him and give the praise to Him alone. He who was and is and is to come, I will sing before His throne forever.
Make me
God. Thank you, Sister Gabby. Make me over again. What precious words. I am yours. Thank you. Thank you, ladies.
Brought me out of the mud. never forget. Oh, Jesus. 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 Oh, Jesus.
song of praise, a song of praise, a song of praise, a song of praise, a song of praise. It's a song of praise, a song of praise. Oh,
ever found yourself in a situation where nobody could get you out but Jesus? Mama couldn't get you out. Daddy couldn't get you out. Pastor couldn't get you out. Only Jesus could get you out. If you've ever been in a situation like that, then you understand the words of that song. He brought me out. Hallelujah. And when he brought me out, all I could do is just give him praise. Amen. I can't help but praise him. I was created to praise him. God, my God, my God. Amen. Amen. Turn around and greet somebody. Say, God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's all right, it's all right, it's all right. The presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. I know the presence of the Lord is here. Yes, it is. The presence of the Lord is here. You know what else? The power of the Lord is here. I said the power of the Lord is here. I feel it, I feel it, I feel it in the atmosphere. I know the power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. Anybody feel his presence? Anybody feel his power? Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Put those hands together. Yeah. Come on. The presence of the Lord is here. Oh, the presence of the Lord. Yeah, I feel it in the air. Come on, say. Yeah, oh, yeah. Say it again, say the presence of the Lord. I know it is. I feel it. Oh, yes. Jesus, whatever you need, he's got it. Yeah, the power of the Lord. Hey, the peace of the Lord. Yes, it is the peace of the Lord. Well, say the peace of the Lord is here, yeah. The presence of the Lord, the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, I feel it. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Come on, one more time.
the presence of the Lord. Yes, it is the presence. I feel it. Oh, the presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord. Now put those hands together. Let the musicians play. If I had the words I was playing it, I don't know the rest of it.
My God, I know I say something, I can feel him right now. I don't know. y'all got to pray for me. It just don't come like it used to come. But I know his presence is here. I do know that much. And God bless you. You can be seated just for a few minutes. Man, it is good to be in church this morning. It's really good to be in church. We grateful, amen, that the Lord allowed Sister Erica and I to go away and, amen, make it back home safely. And just again want to thank the church for making that trip possible for us. Amen. It was extremely relaxing, amen, for us, and that's exactly what we had need of. So we just really appreciate, amen, you all. And your sacrifice and labor of love, amen, on our behalf. Just a few announcements that I just want to make mention of. Now, I got the visitors card, but certainly they're not visitors. Amen. Edwin and Lucy, we married them some time ago, and you would not believe how the Lord had been placing them on my heart for probably the last few months. And I'm like, man, where is the number? I need to get in contact with them. Couldn't find the number, but they showed up to church today. And I am so happy to see Edwin and Lucy. Now, last time Lucy was here, she was pregnant with the baby. But now the baby has been born. Amen. What's the name of the baby? Sean, praise the Lord for Sean. We thank God for Sean. Amen. Being in church today. But we are so appreciative, amen, to have them, amen, in fellowship today. And before you all leave, make sure I get your number, because y'all was on my heart very much so. And I just appreciate seeing y'all, amen, today. So good to see them. Couple announcements and some prayer requests that I want to make mention of. Could I just get a little bit more in the monitors here? I don't know if I just a little bit more so I can hear myself. Says here tomorrow night, those that are going to be a part of South Florida Choir, there's going to be another rehearsal on tomorrow night at Brother West Coast Church. Just take the piano out of the monitors. Amen. That'll be good. All right. The rehearsal tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, I believe we're going to get started at Brother Wesco's church tomorrow night at 7. So keep that in mind. I want you to also please continue to keep Brother Leroy in prayer. He had a surgery right before we left, and he called me, you know, I guess right after the surgery, and he was telling me how he was still in a lot of pain. So please just keep them in prayer. Amen. It wasn't a surgery for the knee. It was a different surgery this time. But just keep them in prayer that God will continue to touch his body. This Friday is going to be actually July 4th.
So there will not be a service, amen, here at the church on Friday night. Pray that you all have a chance to just celebrate, amen, July 4th with your families and just enjoy that time. And certainly remember, amen, those that fought for our freedom and some of our forefathers and what they had to go through, amen, for us to experience what we experience. And we thank God for that. Thank God to be able to live in a country like the USA. Amen. There's many places that I've had the chance to visit, and I'm grateful for the USA and all of its problems. I'm still grateful to be living in the USA. Amen. So this Friday, no service on this Friday. Amen. Now, next week, we're going to be picking up some things. Brother Wesco is going to be having his meetings. Amen. We have the announcement on the board. I believe there's a concert on Thursday night. Not this week, but the week after. Going to be Thursday night, Friday night. I think there might even be a service Friday morning, Saturday morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. But we'll be here on Sunday morning. But all the other services, you all are free to attend. Amen. And certainly we're going to do all we can to be a part of the services there with Brother Wesco the upcoming week. So get your rest this week so you can be ready to enter in the following weekend. Brother Green, he's a pastor from Trinidad. He happened to be speaking at the meetings there, Brother Brown's in St. Augustine, but he had to pass through this way, and he came in yesterday. He showed up for Brother Burr's birthday, but he's going to be preaching at Brother Wesco's. He's preaching this morning as well as tonight at 6:30 p.m. So if you are free and you're able to go and be a part of the service, I'm sure that they would love to have you. Amen. 6:30 tonight, Brother Green from Trinidad will be speaking at Brother Wesco's church. We, as a family, we want to thank you all again for all your support yesterday for my father. So good to have Brother Burrs back in service. Amen. Last week, the Lord allowed him to celebrate 70 years here on earth, and we had a celebration on yesterday here at the church, and man, we just had a really, really good time. Amen. We don't know nothing else to do but church. That's all we know, right? We don't go to parties and all that. We bring our parties to the church, then we just go eat, right? That's all we do. I mean, even in the world, people eat at parties, right? They either eat at parties and dance, but we church and go eat. That's just what we do. Amen. See, but I mean, and ain't gonna be no beer and smoking and none of that. Just church and go eat. And man, we had a time. You know, we had a time, and I was just shocked. I saw this young man come through the church. I'm like, I know that young man. What are you doing? I had to just, you know, get my mind had to kind of, you know, pull it back. And it was a young brother. His name was Shamgar. Lives in Zimbabwe. His father is the pastor there, the church that we've gone to visit there in Zimbabwe. And here he was in town on yesterday, just passing through for a day. And he got a chance to be a part of that. So he taking all of our singing back. And he said, I want the DVD, unedited, raw. Give it to me. I got to take it back to Zimbabwe. So, you know, they're going to be celebrating in Zimbabwe, my dad's 70th birthday. That's something that's going to go down. That's a memory that we will keep. And we're just so happy that, you know, everything that just that took place, and here you all that heard my father testify, my mother testify, you know, they gave a tremendous testimony how God has healed my dad. Amen. God has healed my father. Thank you, Jesus. When I just thought about, you know, some of the whole, you know, situation, we've been reading quotes to the church and just encouraging the church. Brother Branham said that they will stop cancer. That's what he said. He said they will stop cancer. They will cause disease to back up. Now, when he's talking about they, he wasn't talking about himself. He was talking about the bride of Jesus Christ. See, your prayer and your standing in faith on the word of God will stop cancer. And we need some real live testimonies. Right? And you know, I don't care what happened from this day forward, I would still testify that my father was healed of cancer. And it wouldn't be just my faith speaking. I can show you the doctor's results. Their test results testify to the fact that God has healed my daddy of cancer. We're not making it up and trying to get people excited. We're just telling the truth. Because the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I'm besides myself. I know God answers prayer. I know Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I know he told this prophet that not even cancer would stand before your prayer. So we had those prayer requests nailed to the cross. And my daddy waited till yesterday. Come on. Y'all don't understand. In the midst of every doubting critic, in the midst of everybody that might have thought he made the wrong decision, his choice might have been a hard choice, but it was God's way. Amen. And that choice in itself has brought about a tremendous victory in the love divine. So in the midst of everybody saying, I don't know about that, my daddy walked up to the cross and took his prayer requests off. And you know, everybody don't believe like this. I know everybody don't believe that way, but I still believe. And we just saw God just work, amen, a miracle, amen. And even my dad just coming up and just sharing himself, and you know, he gave some words of wisdom. He said, you know, how the Lord just told him, said, you know, you can't eat the food of the king. And I said, Dad, that ain't nothing but scripture. That's exactly what Daniel could not eat the food of the king. And he said, no, I'm not talking about that. He said, I'm talking about Burger King. So that's still scripture, right? And we I'm applying that because that stuff is killing us. And we might as well be honest. Amen. Some of that, I mean, how that stuff stay fresh? It's not even fresh. How does stuff stay together over all that time? Right? I mean, even the bread stay, you know, something wrong with this that we eat in church, and we be pulling in there so fast. Fast food is killing us. And he said, don't eat the food of the king. I say, I'm going to take that. I'm going to use that because, you know, God gives us wisdom on how to take care of our bodies. And if we would just apply the wisdom that God gave, I mean, healing is already in the earth. It's in the earth, church. You know, and the doctors will be the first one to tell you they can't heal. They can certainly pacify what you're going through, but they can't bring healing. Only God can bring healing. Only God can bring healing. So we have to trust him all the way through. And amen. Like my brothers were saying, y'all, hey, you want to talk to somebody about something? Talk to my dad. He'll share a little bit with you. Amen. He got something. Him and my mama got something. Even my sister-in-law, when she stood up here and testified about that the tea. Say she started drinking tea, she couldn't get her blood pressure down. Taking all kind of pills, couldn't get it down. Start drinking this tea, before you know it, it start coming down. Even on her job, they like, well, what are they giving you? It's in the tea. Gotta make you testify. Gotta make you testify. Boy, and I was just so happy to see my family up here just serving the Lord. And you know that, yeah, you all know where we come from. Like my brother said, he said, you know, we blessed, and he knows that we're blessed. And you know, you can just tell the heart of my family. Satan is a liar. Satan is a liar. I don't know if we have, amen, if we put any family requests on the cross, but we're gonna put them up, and y'all gonna see us when we take them down. Amen. When all God's children come back together. What a time. What a time. What a time. Good God Almighty. I don't think I'm going to be able to preach that Sunday when that happened. We're just going to worship the Lord because he's just going to be worthy to be praised. But you know, I tell you, somewhere within the next few weeks, what I want to do, amen, we will have Brother Burrs and Sister Burrs come and share, amen, the testimony for the church. Those of you that didn't get a chance to hear, we want them to share so you can hear the entire, amen, everything that happened. And over the next couple of weeks, we'll have that happen, you know, for you all so you can hear that. But so don't miss church. I ain't going to tell you which Sunday it's going to be. Amen. Just don't miss it because you're going to need to hear what God is doing now. Amen. Amen. All right. All right. All right. I got prayer requests here that we want to make mention of. Brother Felix is asking prayer for a minister from Miami and his daughter-in-law. Both of them are sick, so he's asking prayer for them. Says, thank you, saints. We want to remember that in prayer. Also, Sister Rilan is asking prayer for God to reconnect her with a cousin who I grew up with. I just heard that the doctors only gave him 3 months to live, and just want his soul to get healed and redeemed before he crosses over. His name is Jeffrey. Haven't seen him for years since he got caught up in the wrong lifestyle. We want to remember Jeffrey in prayer. Also, Sister Cobb is asking prayer for Mr. Robinson, one of her longtime customers. He's been in and out of the hospital with heart problems. So we want to just remember, amen, these requests, amen, in prayer today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Amen. And we'll take these requests before God's throne. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Father, it would be a sin for us to doubt after we have just heard the great things that you have done in our midst. So, Lord, these requests that we bring, you told us to make our requests known. You also told us to believe that we receive when we pray. We lift up Lord Mr. Robinson, and I know he's been, amen, a real genuine and good customer to Sister Cobb, and Lord, just some of the things that he has done just even beyond the business. God, we pray that you would intervene for Mr. Robinson. Heart trouble is not too hard for you. So, God, we commit him now into your hands. And, Lord, even as they just testify to him of your healing hand, we pray, God, that his faith would arise and that he would be anointed to believe. And, God, if he's going to a church where they don't believe in laying hands on the sick, Lord, somehow may he come through the doors. And that we'll have the opportunity to lay hands on him and, Lord, watch him recover because that's what your word says would happen. So, God, we just commit him now into your hands. We also, Lord, come on behalf of Brother Felix. He's praying for a minister and his daughter-in-law. This minister, God, who, amen, has a responsibility, amen, to preach the truth to the word, I mean, to the people, preach the word of God. We ask, Lord, that you would touch him. Touch his daughter-in-law right now, God. Whatever the condition is, we place the blood of Jesus Christ in between the patient and the condition. And Father, we just ask that you, God, would get all the glory and all the honor out of raising him, Father, out of this condition. We commit him now to your hands. And Lord, Sister Rolande also praying for her cousin Jeffrey. The doctors have given up on him and only give him 3 months to live. And typically when they say something like that, it's less than what they're actually saying. So we know this is an emergency. It needs your attention. He's been involved in the wrong lifestyle. And maybe this is an opportunity, Lord, that you're using to try to draw him closer to you. So, Father, we ask that you would just give our sister the chance to be able to make sure that his soul is right. If you're calling him home, we want his soul to be right before he leaves. And, God, if this is a time where you're waking him up, Lord, we still want his soul to be right. And may he never forget what you have done for him. So, Father, we just commit them now into your hands, every request, and all the saints, Lord, that might have requests in their hearts but did not get a chance, Lord, to acknowledge it. You know all about it. And I just pray, Father, that you would go before them, that you would strengthen them, that you would help them, Father, through whatever trial that they're facing. We thank you for all that you have done. And as we prepare our hearts to go into the Word of God today, we trust that you, God, would speak to us in only a way that you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's get our Bibles. Amen. And we'll turn to a scripture. Thank you, musicians. Amen. While I was, amen, away, I understood that there were a few changes we started to replicate. That was our word for this year, replicate. One of the words, another one is faithfulness. We want to be more faithful to God. But in replication, that means everybody that you see doing something need to find somebody to do what they're doing. Right, and we've started that process. You see the Benjamin brothers, amen, the twins, they have just about took over, amen, our sound and video and all that. And that's what we need. We thank God for them. And just happy for them. And now I understand Sister Sam, their sister, amen, is also assisting with the Sunday school class. So we thank God for that. And Brother Caleb is training Brother Nehemiah, amen, to start playing drums. So that's what we call replication. And I thank God for what I see. I thank God for what I see. So I believe everybody in here got something that they can do for the Lord. Amen. I believe we've all been called to do it, and we just got to make room and let people do what they've been called to do. Amen. So we're under expectation for all that God has in store. I think I'm going to need just maybe take me a little bit out the monitors because I hear that over there ringing a little bit. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 18. And I'll just be honest with you. I have just a couple thoughts that's flowing through my head today. And what will probably happen is that we will end up just dealing with a particular subject here for a little bit and just kind of going from there. My God, 1 Kings 18. The subjects we'll deal with over the next few weeks as we just kind of just try to work around a particular thing. But here, let's just, I'll read a little bit from 1 Kings 18, and I believe I will start at verse 15. Praise the Lord. It says, and Elijah said, "As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today." So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" What an offensive statement to say to a prophet. How is the prophet going to cause trouble for the nation? The prophet is there to fix the problems in the nation. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You got problems in the home? Put on the prophet. Right. Problems in the church? Let's get back to what the prophet said. Right. Amen. Right? Amen. If we stay with what the prophet said, we're going to be all right. Amen. Anytime we leave what a prophet is saying, then that's where trouble begins to settle in. So, amen. Here he says, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou," that means you the one that's causing trouble in Israel, says, "and thy father's house, and that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam," false god here. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450. And notice this now, and the prophets of the groves 400. So it's really 850 prophets. But notice this now, 450 and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Jezebel is taking care of these guys, right? It's 400 of them that's being paid by Jezebel, that's being raised by Jezebel, that's being comforted by Jezebel. See, I'd rather not be comforted by Jezebel. I'd rather be comforted by the word of God. Amen. See, amen. They eat at Jezebel's table. Now, later on, we'll realize that only 450 came to this sacrifice. The other 400 stayed with Jezebel. All right. But there was 850 of them. Okay. Says, Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and let the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, for today we will use the God that answers by fire. Amen is our title. And I got a little bit in my spirit here that if you all just bear with me over the next couple weeks, I want to try to work through as much of it as we possibly can. I want to read from a man. Let me just start with a message here. Hearing, receiving, and acting. Let's just start with that, and then we'll get into something here. Hearing, receiving, and acting. The prophet says, the world today is being gripped by two great forces. Says two great religious forces that is soon coming to a head or a showdown. Now, I want you to just kind of keep that in mind. There's two great religious forces that is soon coming to a head or a showdown. Now, let me just also just kind of just background this with church. We're not on a picnic, right? There's some real trials that are happening, amen, in Christendom. And if I can bring it a little bit closer to home, there's some real things that are happening in the message of the hour, right? And so this showdown that the prophet is talking about, amen, is something that we really need to get prepared for. Amen. And look, oh my, you're going to have to kind of decide whose side you leaning on. Right. And I mean, this is an individual walk. It's getting real close. And if I could just even put it this way, it'll come down to even family against family. Right. It'll be son against father, or father against son, and mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Amen. And not that I promote, amen, division in the home. I don't promote that. I've been a part of that. I've seen that promoted. But there is a time where you got to realize that you got to know where you stand on the word of God. And I hate to say it this way, but anybody, I don't care who they are, anybody that's trying to get you to go against the word of God is your enemy. That's what the prophet said. That's not my word. Anybody, if your wife trying to get you to go against
the word of God, that's your enemy. If your husband is trying to get you to go against the word of God, that is your enemy. You have to stand on the word of God.
This is real. And today I'm not trying to say anything that would draw division in the family. I want to draw the family together and even draw the church closer together, because we need to be prepared for the showdown. Right? And the showdown, I was looking at the definition of this, and a showdown is a final test. Right? A showdown is a final test, right? Or confrontation. It's intended to settle the dispute, right? I mean, and you know, you all remember some of the old Western movies that you used to see and everything like that. Them fellas would have a showdown. We done been going back and forth. I done come out the barn. You bumped into me one too many times. This is it. You said this and you said that and you shouldn't have said it. And this is it. We're going to have a showdown. And them fellas stand back to back. Say, we're going to take and we're going to count 10 paces. We're going to walk 10 paces. First one turn and shoot is over. This is the final test. This dispute will be settled today. Now, that's what they did with the old Western movies. We got to get to that point with the devil. This thing going to get settled today. I ain't going to keep going through this no more with you, Satan. I am determined to settle it today. And I'm going to tell you something else. I ain't going to turn my back on the devil, because he don't play fair. I'm going to look him in his eye and tell him, we're going to settle this today. Sickness, we're going to settle this today. Disease, we're going to settle it today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's a final test or confrontation intended to settle a dispute. Let me keep going on in this quote. Praise the Lord. It says, now the world today is being gripped by two great forces. Two great religious forces that is soon coming to a head, or a showdown, a final test. It's well represented in our scripture reading tonight. And he was reading from, he's reading a different scripture. It says, of the two sons of Isaac, Esau and Jacob. When they represent both these forces, and they both come from the same father and same mother. All right. It says the Holy One that was foreordained of God, Isaac, and was told by God, his father, 25 years before he was born, he'd have this child by separating the consecrated mother, Rebecca, a virgin. And these two sons was in the same womb. They came to the world fussing and fighting, at war with each other, and they've been at war with each other ever since, and will be till the end time. Amen. Now, I need you to also just understand something this morning. The battle that we're fighting with the devil, that battle gonna keep being fought even after we have been raptured. My wife and I, when we went on a trip, and you know, it was just something that come up there, and you know, I say, man, this devil, he just won't stop fighting. I mean, I don't care what you're trying to do. The devil going to be there fighting. So, you know, and we just got to talk and say, well, why is he fighting? Nah, I said, that's just his job. That's just what he do. He just love to fight. I say, you know what? He going to fight so much till even after a 1,000-year millennial reign, the devil will be loose to try to start another fight. This fellow will not stop fighting. So once you get an understanding that the devil will not stop fighting, you need to put up your dukes. Right? You just need to always be ready to just, you know, let's just do this. Right? I mean, that's just the way you got it. You got to have an attitude when it comes to the devil. Huh? You ain't going to stop, so I ain't going to stop. You think you crazy. I'm more crazy than you are. But church, we have to get to an understanding as to who we are. We're coming to a showdown. Stay with me here today. My God. Listen. And now the prophet is setting us up, because Esau and Jacob, you know, they're fighting. They're twins.
in the womb. And I mean, you know, they just get real tight. You know, when you start preaching like this, man, it get tight for people. But Esau and Jacob being twins, one was chosen of God and one wasn't. One was loved of God, one hated. Right? I mean, twins coming from the same mama and the same daddy. Now, we gotta type that spiritually. Don't leave it in the natural, but we got to type that spiritually. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Twin spirits, right? They can be raised in the message. They can be going to the same church. Huh? They can be together for a long time, but one would go this way and one would go that way. Twin spirits. Hallelujah. Stay with us now. Oh, God. All right, all right. We're gonna be in there. Let me just keep reading. Amen. It says, and these two sons was in the same womb. They came to the world fussing and fighting, at war with each other, and they've been at war with each other ever since, and will be till the end time. And the world is seriously gripped tonight in these forces. Now, the remarks that I have to say in some scriptures I've written here and so forth, I want everyone to know that when sometimes I refer to a condition of church or a denominational or something, many times my brother mistake me when I say that. I'm not referring to spirit-filled men who stands as shepherds and feed the flock of God that's ordained by the Holy Ghost to do so. I'm talking about carnal believers who try to take the place of these men. Okay. Carnal believers who try to take the place of these men. Now, I'm going to be dealing with this over the next few weeks. Y'all just stay with me today, because there's just a lot that I need to share. And I'm saying it in a way because, you know, don't... Sometimes you can sit and you're trying to figure out, okay, what Brother Jack is saying? Where are you going? No, don't do that. Please, don't do that. Just receive from your heart, you know, as I even go through the scripture, just receive, like, Lord, what is it? What are you trying to warn us with through this message? How are you trying to speak to us in this? I mean, what are you really trying to get out to us? And just approach it from that way, because these spirits don't die, right? I mean, the spirit of Esau still lives today. Right. And not only that, I mean, I want to go back to another quote here out of Church Age book. This is where my heart is, out of Pergamene Church Age. The spirit of Korah exists today. And the other thought that I'll bring, and I won't have time today, is Korah's lie. Right. And my hope is that I don't want anybody here to be influenced by Korah's lie. I can't preach that one today. But just stay with me, okay? Stay with me. And I'm going to just lay a little foundation here as to where I want to go for the next couple weeks. Pergamene Church Age. Now, this quote that I'm about to read to you, it always is special to me, because the prophet was given instruction by the angel of the Lord. He was sitting somewhere, and the angel of the Lord said, pick up your pen. And just begin to write, right? And the prophet began to pick up his pen, and he just began to write. And as he was writing, amen, it was not his words, but it was the angel of the Lord speaking to him certain words. And as he would pick up his pen, there were certain things that he wrote about us, and we weren't even born. Most of us weren't even born, but the angel knew that you would be here. Amen. Oh, my God. Amen. Even when the prophet was on the earth, some of us might have been on the earth at the same time the prophet was here, but God did not allow you to get into any of the meetings that he was in, right? But God still allowed you to come to the understanding of God sending a prophet, right? And that angel told the prophet to write certain things, put it inside of a book, so when they read the book or when they listen to the tape, they'll hear what the angel had to say about them. Stay with me, because these are things that the angel said about you. Pergamene Church Age. I'm just I can't give you all of it. You can go back and read and listen to it yourself, but I'm just giving you some highlights here. Here it says, now I want you to be very careful. Let's see, where am I? Actually, I want to skip down the next paragraph on that one. I want you to be very careful. Okay, there we go. I want you to be very careful here and see this. This is what the angel said, all right? God has promised that at the end time, Malachi 4 is going to be fulfilled, right? That's God's promise. Amen. It has to be for it is the spirit-quickened word of God, spoken by the prophet Malachi. Jesus referred to it. It is just before Christ comes the second time. By the time Jesus comes, all scripture must be fulfilled. The Gentile dispensation will be in its last church age when that messenger of Malachi comes. He will be right with the word. He will take the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. He will start at the serpent seed and carry on to the messenger in the latter rain. But he will be rejected by the denominations. Keep going. He has to be, for that is history repeating itself from the time of Ahab. Israel's history under Ahab is happening right here in America where the prophet of Malachi appears. Let's stay with that. Israel's history, all right, is under Ahab, is happening right here in America where the prophet of Malachi appears. Now, you know, if we were to look back at Ahab, let's work with him just for a little bit. Ahab was a king, amen, there in Israel, one of the leaders. But Ahab made a gigantic mistake. The problem with Ahab and what occurred with him is Ahab married the wrong wife. I'm just going with Bible history. All right. Ahab did not marry an Israelite as his wife. Ahab went and got a woman from the world and brought her into, amen, Israel and made that woman his wife. Now, just stay with me on this, because let me just kind of make sure this is very clear. There are some people, all of us come from the world, right? All of us come out of the world, so we're not looking down on anybody in the world, because we all come out of that. Amen. But what it is that if you're coming from the world like I came from the world, I had a heart that wanted to serve God. I didn't feel comfortable in the things of the world that I was in. Even though I was in the world, I did not feel comfortable. I had a heart that wanted to serve God. If you're in the world and you have a heart like that, then God is obligated to deal with you. But Jezebel never had a heart to serve God. Jezebel said, look, I'm going to get married. I'm going to go to church with you, Ahab. But I got no intentions of serving your God. Actually, by the time we get out of service, I'm going to have another service planned so I can go and serve my gods. She had a dominating female spirit, which Brother Ramsey said was the worst curse the world ever saw, a dominating female. This woman that he married, I just want to talk about her a little bit. If y'all just bear with me. Yes. This woman that he married, see, some of the other women in Israel would have never thought to even do some of the things that Jezebel did. Oh, God. The way that Jezebel dressed was against the way the children of Israel were dressing. I'm just talking about her, right? The way that she conducted her affairs was totally against the way the children of Israel would have ever done it. One day, Ahab got a little downhearted. He saw this field that he wanted. It was right next to his palace, Naboth's vineyard. He said, man, if I got a hold of that property right there, what I could do with that? And said, man, you know what? I'm going to just go and ask Naboth if he wouldn't mind. Since I'm the king, why don't he just go ahead and give me the vineyard? I'll pay him for it. So Naboth say, look, man, I can't give you my father's inheritance. I mean, that meant something. And Ahab understood that. How do I say that? Why do I say that? Because Ahab, after he heard it, went to his room, laid on his bed, and just began to sulk. But he knew the man was right. Ooh, this is tight. But I got to preach it. But he knew the man was right based on his actions. He knew the man was right. But Ahab's wife did not have respect to any of those things. What you doing down? Why are you in here sulking and crying and everything? What? You know, I asked Naboth for his vineyard, and you know, and he told me this and told me that, and he wouldn't give me the vineyard. I said, well, you're the king. You know, behind his back. Oh, Jesus. Behind Ahab's back, Jezebel devised a plan. Jezebel went and got certain people, and you know, and they come up and they make the celebration. Then they invite Naboth to it, and then they begin to make accusations again, false accusations. And when they made the false accusations, because she knew some of the scripture. Y'all work with me today. She knew, she had been to church, so she knew some of it. She wasn't going to follow it, but she knew it. She knew just enough to get Naboth in trouble. Well, I heard them say that in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Let every word be established. So y'all come up with a lie on Naboth and say how he did this and how he did that, and then he'll be stoned to death. She came up with the plan. Some people executed the plan. Naboth got killed. And all of a sudden, she goes home and she says, Ahab, get up. Go get the field. Naboth is dead. And Ahab, just being the husband that he was. Ooh, Jesus, y'all just bear with me. Husbands, sometimes you got to check some things out. You got to look and see, is she telling you the truth? Because you don't know, she might be setting you up. Oh, y'all don't believe that? Man, it's women nowadays putting out hits on their husband and all kind of stuff and trying to get insurance policies. And men doing the same thing to their wives. It's a shame before God. You better watch who you marry. You better watch who you marry, right? I mean, this man just think about, how much is the policy? I've been broke all my life. She say, go on down there to get the field. Naboth is dead. What he should have did is ask, well, how did this man die? He didn't even ask any of those questions. He just got excited, went straight down to Naboth's vineyard to claim it as his own. Thank God for a prophet being in the land.
Yes.
Because see, sometimes when you're trying to do some things that you know you shouldn't be doing, the word of the prophet will ring right back out to you. And as they were on their way, God said, told the prophet, go down there and meet him. Meet him right there in Naboth's. Meet him at Naboth's vineyard and tell him what he done did. And when he met him, he told him, say, y'all going to get in trouble for this. Don't worry. God saw it. God saw it. So that's why he had this attitude towards the prophet when he said, you come to trouble Israel? No, I didn't come to trouble. You and your house, your father's house, y'all come to trouble Israel with your actions. Because if Ahab is getting away with this and his wife is getting away with it. Jezebel was the only one. And I know people that name their children. They named their children Jezebel. Jezebel was the only woman in scripture. The only woman that was wearing makeup and all this other stuff. Nobody else was doing it in Israel, but Jezebel was. So, y'all, the prophet already said that. Y'all know what the prophet said. Anybody know what the prophet said? Said, when you see a woman doing let me just put it this way, because everybody don't know it. Right, let me just try. You might not know it, but if you read your Bible, you would realize that the only woman ever wore makeup, only woman, was Jezebel. Right? And so the prophet said, when you see, and when she walked by, she just wanted the attention of the guys. And, and they'd just be. They'd just be whistling, boy. That's that hound call. That hound call. They just whistling, trying. I mean, and she knows she got their attention. When she got a whistle, oh yeah, it just went right to her head. Right? And this is the way Jezebel was, And so, Brother Branham say, now when you see her, walking like that, just say, God bless you, Miss Dog Meat. How you doing, Miss Dog Meat? Because she's just going to the hounds of hell. That's all she's doing, that type of attitude. All right. I told you it's going to be tight, but I just got to say it this way. I'm not making this up. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Jezebel was a little different than the women, amen, of Israel. She was a lot different, and actually had no intention of ever even being like the women of Israel. Her intention was to change those women into who she was. All right. I said a lot right there. All right, y'all just bear with me. I'm coming out of this, and I'm going into a little bit more. All right, look at this. Let's go back to this quote. This is the angel writing to you. It's talking about how God's going to send a prophet according to Malachi 4, and that scripture will be fulfilled.
before the return of Jesus Christ. Now here in this paragraph it says, he has to be, for that is history repeating itself from the time of Ahab, Israel history, under Ahab, is happening right here in America where the prophet of Malachi appears. As Israel left Egypt to worship in freedom. The next weekend we're celebrating independence, right? Israel left Egypt to worship in freedom, pushed out the natives, raised up a nation with great leaders like David, etc., and then put an Ahab on the throne with a Jezebel behind him to direct. Now, I'm going to just put it this way for everybody here. It don't matter who the president is. They will carry out whatever other people's agenda is. It don't matter. It does not. Even when Barack's term is over, the next person that goes in will be carrying out what other people have. Oh, my. I'm not going to even get into political discussion. But I just need you to understand that it's not controlled by the president. Amen. It's a whole bunch of other people controlling that. Amen. Right? So when you see things like the president is inviting the lesbian and gay community, right, it's not just him doing that. Hey, right? It's a lot of other people behind that. And I can almost assure you that if he did not do it, right, there might be some repercussions. All right, brother. Amen. Yes. Oh, come on, y'all. I just heard a story about somebody going to court. First of all, I just need to understand, why is the court taking these cases? Amen. This man got drawn into court because he refused to make a wedding cake for a gay couple. Why is the court even considering that to be a case? Think about it, church. Why would they even bring that forward? They say, look, if you're going to be in business, you're going to have to make a cake. I'm giving up my business license. God bless you. Whoever he is, God bless you. You're not going to make me make no cake. Go to somebody else and get a cake, you know. I don't understand how these things are happening. It's because there's a certain agenda. There's a showdown coming. Church, we got to be ready for this showdown. They're going to do the same thing. I didn't read it here, but in this message to the church, the angel said that at some point in time, we're going to have to shut the church doors. The angel said that. You know why? Because I'm not marrying people that's opposite, of the same sex. They're going to take my license. They're not going to let us gather. Right? Oh, Lord Jesus. In the news recently, this one preacher married, I think one of his relatives was gay. So he married him. The church kicked him out. Well, it made too much publicity. Too much. You know what the church did? Brought him right back in. It's a showdown. It's a showdown. And y'all better know whose side you're leaning on. Y'all better know the God that you serve. You better know that he's able to be called upon when you need them. Church, this is serious business. I mean, wait, now what y'all would do? Here, the news camera don't have to be here for things to be brought to the light. Right? All it takes is a quick YouTube video. Like right now, somebody could be just taping. Right now, right? And then, all it takes, and before you know it, hate, that pastor preach hate speech. No, I'm preaching the Bible. Just in case it do get out there, read it in the Bible. We Christians, aren't we? Christians follow the word of God. We don't follow popular opinion. We only concerned about what God thinks about it. And if God said it's wrong, then it's wrong. We don't hate nobody. Right? I mean, we love everybody. And God loves everybody, but he does hate sin. And the unfortunate part, we don't even know what sin is nowadays. The book of Judges is happening all over again. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. Lord, I'm trying to get back to my thought here. Y'all just bear with me for a little bit. I had a young lady this week, you know, I was talking to her. We were at the store buying something, and when I walked in, you know, we walked in, and you know, there's a number of us there, and they say, they say all y'all, about four of us walked in, say, well, you know, y'all come in the box. Yeah, we did. Say, you know, y'all, are y'all business to business customers? They say, well, we represent the church, you know, and I told them the name of the church. Say, oh yeah, God bless you, brothers. God bless you. That guy was happy. I guess he must have been going to the church. So, you know, pretty much everybody around start helping us like crazy. You know, boy, this is all right. You know, so we got to the register, and even a young lady was helping, and she's like, so y'all go to the church? I said, yeah, we go to the church. She said, my mom goes there. I said, okay, well, where you go? She said, I don't go. I'm an atheist. I said, oh, yeah. I said, oh, okay. And she thought the conversation was going to be over, but it just got started. You're an atheist? Oh, okay, great. I said, now tell me, what made you become an atheist? Well, just some research that I did. Well, what did you discover in your research? Well, you know, she was saying something about, she discovered about the Big Bang Theory. I said, oh, okay, the Big Bang. I said, okay. I said, well, what led you to start studying on that? Well, you know, my mama kept telling me, don't get around this evolution and stuff like that. Just stay away from it. Stay out of those classes with evolution. And my mama just kept keeping me away from that. So eventually I start studying on it. I say, you know what? Your story sounds just like something we believe. God told some people at the beginning, don't eat from a certain tree. Don't eat from that tree. And you know, as soon as they start eating from that tree, their whole world turned around. Wow. And it seemed like when you start eating from this evolution, your world turned around. Oh, nice. Just like something we believe. Amen. She started thinking. Uh-huh. I said, well, I thank God for your faith, because that's where her faith is. Right. And so she, you know, we kept on talking, and then, you know, I said, you know, really, you a triune being. You got a body, you got a spirit, you got a soul. She say, I don't believe that. So, okay. She say, I believe when you die, you just gone. That's it. So, okay. All right, no problem. So you don't believe you're triune being. I say, okay, now tell me, when does life really start? Now, when in your womb, in your mother's womb, did she, you know, did life start there when, you know, when conception was made and you just a little muscle in there jumping and then all of a sudden you start growing into a body? Where does life start? Say now, because I know, you know, there's some kids that don't make it to this earth. They get to the mother's womb, but they don't make it to the earth. I say, so when did life really start? I say, because you don't believe you're trying. She say, well, when I'm birthed, when my parents give birth. I say, okay, now we got something. All right, because that's when that spirit comes to connect with your body. All right. No. That's not what I'm saying. No, that's exactly what happened. Right? Because notice now, if you never get to that part, you're still born. You're not living yet. Right? So. Well, it must have happened. No, it didn't happen that way. Come on now. You're backpedaling on me. It's okay. I'll come back and talk to you later. She thought she was an atheist. But after you just talked to them just a little bit, all of a sudden they start thinking. Because, you know, look, let me tell y'all something. Church, y'all got more understanding than the nominal church, where you can have conversations like this with people and not back up. They have not heard the things that you need to share. The reason they became atheists because nobody was able to give them truth. Amen. But once they hear just a little, what? Where you get that from? Come go to church with me. I'll show you exactly where I get it. Amen. Don't give it all to them at one time. Now. Let them get a little thirsty. Be salty. Let them get thirsty. Where you getting that from? Just come go to church with me. All right. Praise the Lord. Let me get back here. Jesus, help me, God. I'm going back to paragraph 174.2. He has to be, for that is history repeating itself. From the time of Ahab, Israel's history under Ahab is happening right here in America. The angel said this, where the prophet of Malachi appears as Israel left Egypt to worship in freedom, pushed out the natives, right? Raised up a nation with great leaders like David, and then put an Ahab on the throne with a Jezebel behind him to direct. And I was saying that, you know, the every president going to have a Jezebel behind him. Right. Amen. Whether it's the church at large. Right. And could, the Catholic Church, I should put it that way. They're going to be directing that. They're going to be directing a lot of things. Even Obamacare. Oh, my. Catholic Church got a lot to do with that, y'all. All right. I'm going on. But it says this. Ahab on the throne with a Jezebel behind him to direct. So have we done the very same in America. Our forefathers left for this land to worship and live in freedom. They pushed back the natives and took over the land. Mighty men like Washington and Lincoln were raised up, but after a while, other men of such poor caliber succeeded these worthy men that soon an Ahab was set in the presidential chair with a Jezebel behind him to direct him. It is at such a time as this that the messenger of Malachi must come. Then in the latter rain will come a Mount Carmel showdown. Watch this carefully now to see it in the word. John was the forerunner of Malachi 3. He planted the former rain and was rejected by the organizations of his day. Jesus came and had a Mount Transfiguration showdown. The second forerunner of Christ will sow for the latter rain. Jesus will be the showdown between the denominations and creeds. For he will come to back up his word and take his bride in the rapture. The first showdown was Mount Carmel. The second was Mount Transfiguration. And the third will be Mount Zion. We're coming to a showdown. Now, I don't have time to get into it today, but we're going to dig a little deeper into the Mount Zion part of that showdown. But I want to just try to show you, amen, a final test or a confrontation is coming so we can settle the dispute. It's coming so we can settle the dispute, right? A lot of stuff that we run into, and, you know, everybody call themselves Christians nowadays. Man, you ain't even got to invite Jesus into your heart. You're a Christian. Got beer in your hand, I'm a Christian. I'm still smoking cigarettes, but I'm a Christian. I mean, it don't take nothing nowadays for people to be a Christian. We done cheapen Christianity. But I'm going to tell you, it's a few people that's still standing on the word. And that challenges everybody else. This showdown, the Mount Carmel showdown, if we can just talk a little bit about that, and I'll let you go today. At Mount Carmel, this is where we have in Kings, amen, the prophet Elijah, you know, let's go back and pick that up because he, you know, he's actually challenging the people that got to a spot. Ahab is the leader. His wife Jezebel is behind him just running and directing things. And, man, she was powerful. Let me tell you that much. She was very powerful, so powerful that even the prophet was running from her. That's a powerful lady. Right. The prophet took off running when he heard what she was going to do. He did what to my prophets? By this time tomorrow, I have his head. Took off running. An anointed prophet. That's a powerful woman. The church represented. Amen. In the scripture, whenever you look at a woman in scripture, she's actually representing the church. The church today will be very powerful. Now, if we're not careful, if we don't know the God that we serve, we'll be running too. Just like Ahab, just like Elijah was running, we'll be running too. But church, we got to stand on what God has revealed to us. It's a showdown. Oh my God. Look at this. Let's pick it up in scripture. 1 Kings 18. Elijah put out a challenge there. And let's start at verse 24. Verse 23 says, "Let them therefore give us two bullocks." And I'm sharing this with you because history has a strange way of repeating itself. Okay, so we got to catch this. Not just Bible stories. This is something that we got to get prepared for as believers. A showdown, a final test, a confrontation intended to settle a dispute. says, let them therefore give us two bullocks and let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Everybody agrees with it. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under it. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. Now, Elijah knew his God. Right, so he can have conversation like this because he knew his God was going to answer by fire. I wonder if we know our God. See, I mean, see, when you know that you know that you know, you can stand there in the face of every devil. Yes, my God will answer by fire. Yes, my God will prove himself. Yes, hallelujah. My God gonna show himself strong. Uh-huh. Glory to God. Amen, church. Yes, amen. If God did it for Elijah, God gonna do it for us. Yes, come on now. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Look at this. It says, and they cried aloud, and this is where I get this from when I'm always sharing, when you got to watch the spirit of where we're cutting ourselves, because this is satanic activity. When they did, verse 28 says, and they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. Right? That was a part of satanic worship. They were worshiping Baal. That's why we want to avoid that 100%. That's just the devil trying to take our life. Amen. Listen, and it came to pass, and you know, Brother Branham says sometimes people can be worshiping Satan and not even know they're worshiping Satan. Amen. It's right here in the Bible, church. Watch it. Your actions say a lot. Amen. Listen, it says, and it came to pass when midday was past, and that's why, you know, nail that thing to the cross. If you're going through something, nail it to the cross. Yes, sir. Lord, I want to be delivered from whatever. You ain't got to let everybody know because people do read your requests. Lord, I want to be delivered from what's in my heart. You know what's in my heart. Amen. And when God deliver you, take it down off the cross. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the God. That's the God answering by fire. When you take it down off the cross, he answered by fire. Come on now, somebody. I'm trying to bring it home. It says that it came to pass. Thank you, Jesus. When midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifices, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. Now, just stay there at verse 30. We're going to bring it home in a little bit. But I want to show you that. Now, this was not the only time in Scripture that God answered by fire. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll tell you what, let me keep reading. I'll share that with you in a little bit. This is not going to be the only time where God answered by fire. I'm going to show you something. Verse 30 says, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. That's the first thing he did, was repair it. Amen. And maybe there's some things in our life that need to be repaired this morning. Amen. Or first we need to repent, and then we can start repairing. Amen. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Good God Almighty. Amen. Many of us are living in a state of broken downness. Amen. When something broke down, you can't use it no more. Right? Amen. You got to get that thing fixed. And sometimes just because it's broken down don't mean it can't be used. There's some things you can do that might repair it so you can use it again. This altar had been broken down, but it had been repaired. Amen. Glory. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name.
And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put wood in the order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid them on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Make it look impossible, right? But he says, and he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. Now, you can't really mix water and fire. You can't do that, because usually what they're using to put out a fire is water. But he's bringing water to the fire. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Says, and the water ran. Hallelujah. The water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Everything he did at the altar, even when he called all the prophets together, he did that at the word of God. Come on, some of y'all been standing on some things. My daddy was standing on a promise. He did it according to a promise from God's word, not from the doctor. And God answered by fire by healing his body. I did it at thy word. Oh, hallelujah. When you know you done moved and did things according to God's word, people can say whatever they want to say. Listen, hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. They said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. God answered by fire in Elijah's day. And let me just kind of share with you a couple things. In Moses' day, God answered by fire. When he called Moses at the burning bush, that was God answering by fire. And notice now, Moses was attracted to the fire that was in the bush. And when he got attracted to the fire in the bush, amen, by approaching it, then he heard the voice of God. Now, I mean, hallelujah, church. We should be attracted to this message, because God did answer by fire. And once we come, amen, because of some of the signs and wonders, God used signs and wonders all the time. God used that to get our attention. But once we get here, we got to listen to the voice. And let me make it very clear, not just Brother Branham's voice, but God's voice speaking through his prophet. We got to hear that voice. Amen. Today we find people that's no longer attracted to God's supernatural voice. Guess what? They'll take the sign. They'll take the miracles. But they won't take the voice. God answered by fire in the days of Korah. And I'm getting back to Korah's lie, but not today. But God answered by fire. There was 250 renowned men. That's what the Bible said. But I mean, men of great standing. Men that the people looked up to. I'm saying a lot. Men that the people looked up to, these were renowned men, but these men refused to follow God's prophet. Moses was the prophet of that day. They refused to follow the prophet. And by Satan using men like that, it's very easy for him to get to the people. But as a lay member, you got to know where you stand on the word of God. You don't know who you're going to have to stand against someday. But here, you know, these 250 that went out with Dathan and Korah. And now, you know, Dathan and Korah, there was a lot happening. I ain't going to get into all of it. But Dathan and Korah, the earth opened up and swallowed them. But 250 men maybe thought they got away. But while they stand there, fire came from heaven and burned all 250 of them up. God answered by fire. God showed who was the true prophet in that day. God showed that Moses is the one that I'm standing with, and anybody else is trying to influence anybody trying to influence them against Moses, I'll answer by fire.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. Not only that, in 2 Kings chapter 1, Elijah came in contact with another fella, right? I think his name Athalia, something. I forget what his name was in 2 Kings 1. But, you know, when he running to him, he was seeking. This was Ahab's son, I believe, Ahaziah fell down through a lattice, got hurt. And rather than. Look, when y'all get sick, anybody get sick, put a prayer request in. Come to the church and let us pray for you. Yeah. Just don't. I mean, I'm not saying don't go to the doctor. It's okay to go to the doctor, but also go to church and get prayer. And I actually, before I go to the doctor, I would want prayer first. Right? While I'm at the doctor, I would want prayer still. Right? But we've come to a spot now, we don't even ask God anything. Right? And what this fellow was doing, he said, I'm not going to the prophet. I'm not going to the prophet. I'm going straight to one of these other gods to try to find out if I'm going to get healed from this. Well, the prophet met him. He had met his daddy going now to Naboth's vineyard. Now the prophet done met him and said, now go tell him he's not going to get well. He met his servants. Go tell him he's not going to get well. Is there not a God in Israel? Why is he going down there to Baal-zebub? Why is he doing it? Why God's people do some of the things that they do? Is there not a God in the land today? Well, that king said, you know what? What'd he look like? He looked like this. He looked like that. I know who that is. That's Elijah. Go tell him, I said, come down. Sent a captain of 50, took 50 men with him. He said, prophet, the king said, come down. If I be a prophet of God, then let God answer by fire. Burn up you and your 50. God immediately answered, all 50 of them was gone, just like that. Well, second group go up. The king said, go up there. They ain't come back yet. Go up there and get the prophet. I want him to come down. Other guy goes up with his 50, and he's another captain. I don't know what happened to the other 50, but the king said, come down. I'm here to do my job. If I be a prophet of God, then let the fire come down and consume you and your 50. Fire come down from heaven, consume them just like that. Well, the third one, the king said, I don't know what happened to the other two groups, but you go up there and you get that prophet and get him down here. If you don't get him down, you're going to die. Okay. He got up there. There's an old prophet. We saw the fire come down on the first 50 and the second 50. Old prophet, it's just me and my men. I'm trying to get back home to my family tonight. And old prophet, please, you know, the king is asking for you to come down. And prophet, please, you know, if you don't go with me, I'm going to die. You know, prophet, please. His approach was just right. God told the prophet, get up and go with him. And he went down and didn't change his testimony because he got in front of the king. Come on. I don't care who you stand in front of. When the showdown come, don't change your testimony. Stay with what God has revealed to you. God answered by fire. I'm leaving with this. Because God answered by fire in our day. Our prophet was challenged that God was not a divine healer. He was not the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was challenged, and this one doctor, Bess, say, I want to have a debate with you. The prophet said, no, I'm not into debating the word of God. I don't argue. So Brother Bosworth said, brother, I'll take it on. He said, Brother Bosworth, please promise me that you will not fuss and fight with that. I will not fuss and fight with him, Brother Branham. But come on. I love Brother Bosworth, right? Because when the showdown came, he wasn't running, hiding. He knew what his God had already done. And you all heard the testimony how God healed Brother Burris. So we're not running from camps anymore. Right? We're not running from any of these things anymore. We know what our God has already done. And if he did it before, he can do it again. There is no case too hard for God. We have the evidence in our midst. Brother Bosworth said, no, I already know. So you ain't got to worry. I ain't got to argue with him. I'm not arguing at all with this man. I just got a few questions for him. That's all. I'm going to ask my questions, then I'm going to sit down.
So he went and the brother, Dr. Best just took his time just to kind of deflate him and just make him look really bad up there, taking his fist and putting it in his face and saying, take the picture now, take the picture now. I mean, just trying to just embarrass Dr. Bosworth. Brother Bosworth. So, you know, Dr. Best, he started trying to prove his point and everything and how the script was wrong and the way that they were teaching it was wrong. So Brother Bosworth said, okay, all right, you know, had your chance, now let me talk. He says, the seven compound names of Jehovah, you know, Jehovah Jireh and Jehovah Rapha and Jehovah Nisi and all, I mean, does that apply to Jesus Christ? Does that apply? And say, Dr. Best kind of looks at it. Now, if I answer yes to this, then he got me. If I answer no. So Dr. Best just would not answer. See, God will anoint you at the time that you need to be anointed. Come on, y'all. I mean, when y'all hear a brother and sister Burrs tell the testimony, you're going to hear them talk about how the doctor came into the room. And he got a certain report and saying that, you know, it's worse than it's ever been. And I mean, it's worse. But they knew the report that they saw. Showed other results. And they said, look, man, you got to go back and look at the other report. Don't come in here talking if you ain't seen the whole thing. Huh? Don't give us that. See, let me say it this way. You got to watch whose report that you going to believe. No. You got to go look at the other report. I gave them the other report. Have you looked at it? The man said he hadn't looked at it. He said, well, you go back and look at that. Then you come and talk. After he looked at the other report, that man came back in and said, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Well, I can believe it. I can believe it. And then they asked and said, now, would you like for us to tell you now, because you didn't ask earlier, can we tell you now what protocols we use?
Yes, Lord Jesus. Praise God.
Okay. Before you know it, the man walked out a believer. Talk about he going to be praying. First he was saying it was no hope. Now he talk about he going to be praying. God know how to turn things around, but you got to know your God. Dr. Bosworth had seen his God heal many times. He said, I know Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New, and I know all seven compound names apply to Jesus Christ. Dr. Best knew he was defeated after one question. Defeated. You ain't got to be thinking about all that you're going to say. God will put the words in your mouth. God will put it there. Gave the man one question. He said, man, I just defeated. So he goes, go taking more pictures. Just out of rank. What is a preacher doing in the pulpit with his fist like this in another preacher's face? In another preacher's face. I mean, I don't know. If I was going to that church, I think this is it. What you doing? See? I said, well, you know, I ain't come to talk to you anyway. I want to see Brother Branham. So Brother Branham sitting up in the balcony. And when he was sitting up in the balcony, do I have that picture in PowerPoint? Just look in the PowerPoint. He was sitting up in the balcony, the one with the halo over the head. And he was sitting in the balcony and said, the Holy Spirit told him, go on down there. So he got up and he started walking down to the front. And as he was approaching the front, he started talking to Dr. Best and everything. And, you know, when they start taking pictures there while Brother Branham was up there talking, they took this picture right here. And you can see the pillar of fire over the top of the prophet's head. And his showdown, his moment of a showdown, having to debate the word of God with a denominational preacher, God answered by fire. God answered by fire. And if that's God proving that that was his prophet, I don't care what nobody got to say. I'm going to stay with what God has vindicated to be his. Amen, church. Amen. And what I'm saying is because there's a lot of stuff going on, but you better not fall for the lies of Korah. We'll get back to that later on. Let's stay with the God that answered by fire. God bless you. Let's pray. Lord, there's a lot going on in our land today. So much, Lord, that we're seeing, so much we're hearing. But we, as Christians, are being challenged to stay with the Word. God, if you could answer by fire in the days of Elijah, prove that you were with him. And God, come right back around today with Elijah of Malachi 4. You answer by fire again. You prove that you were with him. God, we know that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't let us get caught between two opinions. Don't let us get halted or stop there. But Lord, let us get to a spot, Father, where we know without a shadow of a doubt that you are the God that you promised that you would be. That you have fulfilled the scriptures that you said would be fulfilled in this day. Malachi 4, Revelation 10. These things have been fulfilled right before our very eyes. Help us to hold to it. Yes, there will be a showdown, a final test. But God, we're just so glad to know that we're on your side. You'll never be defeated. And with us, Lord, if you are with us, then we can't be defeated either. So help us, Lord, to really begin to buckle down, listening to the voice of the prophet, and Lord, just reminding ourselves of Lord, every promise that you've made to us. Lord, let us stay close to it in this hour, because Satan is certainly doing all he can to trip us up. But you've given us something to overcome with. We thank you for it. We bless you. We honor you, for you are the God that has answered by fire. Thank you, Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Okay. They had a song that they wanted to play here, and I don't know if I know all of it, so I'll have Sister Charisse come back, amen, and she can sing a little bit of this for us. Church, we serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God, and no sense in us being afraid in this hour. God will answer. God will uphold. God will make his stand. Amen, church. I'm under expectation for it. And amen, I don't believe the pillar of fire is going anywhere. If it showed up on picture for the prophet, that's the same pillar of fire that led the children of Israel out of the wilderness. That was the same pillar of fire. If it was there then and it showed up in a picture with the prophet, it's still here right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Our God answers by fire. Thank you, Jesus. Sister Charisse sang a little bit of this song. Amen. And you all just enter in and just worship with her. At the end of the song, Brother Solomon, if you would come and just close the service out. Amen. Prayer.
I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. I know who goes before me, and I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
Praise the Lord. I know we all can say it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. He has done great things. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Bow your heads. Lord God Almighty, we're so grateful to be serving the living God, a God that can answer by fire. Our God is a consuming fire, Lord. We're so grateful, Lord, as the prophet of God said, Lord, that pillar of fire is leading us to the land of the millennium, Lord. You're here with us this morning, Lord. You came to visit us, Lord. You gave us a word of warning, Lord, to keep all vessels prepared, Lord, and may the fire of God that stands, that burns within us, Lord God, continue to lead us. Father, we just ask this morning, Lord God, that the words that we've heard, we don't take them lightly. Father, that we may meditate on them as we leave this place, Lord, and consider ourselves, Lord, evaluate our lives, make sure we're in right standing with you, Lord, keeping our vessels, Lord, spotless before you, Lord. We just ask, Lord God, that you come, Lord, grant more revelation to us, Lord. Grant a closer walk with you, Lord. We all need more of you in this hour, Lord God. As we see the light getting darker and darker in this earth, Lord God, may our light shine that much more brighter, Lord God, that others may see and have light, Lord, in this dark age, Lord. We just ask, Lord, that your illuminating power, Lord, just rest upon your children. As we go and leave this place, Lord, may we take the light of Almighty God to our family members, to our friends, our co-workers, Lord. Father, the people that we come in contact with, Lord, may they see Jesus in us, Lord. May we die out to ourselves daily, taking up our cross, Lord God, that you may reign in our lives, Father God, that you may reflect your life here in your bride, Lord, here upon this earth, Lord. We love you, Father. We give you praise for what we have heard, Lord. We give you praise for all that you have accomplished within us, Lord. We thank you for ordering our steps in your word, Lord. Thank you for going before us, Lord. Make prosper in our way and standing behind us, Lord God. Lest we fall, you pick us up by your mercy. We give you praise, Lord, and ask that you go before us, Lord, and have your way. We commit all things to you now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.